This is largely a continuation of the previous Mishnah. Even the word, opening word v'chein, which means and the same principle applies, is a dead giveaway. So here you've got again two separate owners that own, one owns above, one owns below. So the case, like Rashi learns, Fard would say the case is one man owned this piece of property. I'll describe in a second. He died and left his two sons. So each one took the higher, one took the lower. However, in this case, instead of being like a two-story apartment building, what you have is the old man who's now dead. He dug out like a cave. There's a mountain, let's say, and he dug out of the rock face a cave, and inside the cave he put himself a base abad, a little olive press, and then on top of the cave is the other brother who's got his gina, he's got his garden growing up top. So the upper resident, if you will, is the garden from the one brother, and the lower resident is the wine press belonging to the other brother. And what happens is the shade comes to an end when the ceiling falls in. Now the light shines down.
It's like someone digs a hole.
Yeah, that's what's happening here. Exactly what's happening here. So what's happening? V'chein. Same goes as the previous Mishnah. Beis Avad, if you have a wine press, Shubanui Basela, that's built into the bedrock. Sela, for what it's worth, means a bedrock. Have you ever noticed, as opposed to other, yeah, like stone. Sela means the bedrock, as opposed to, like, I don't know, Avanim and Srorot. So Avanim means rocks, Srorot means pebbles. Sela means the stone that is all the way down, whatever, the bedrock. So into the side of the mountain.
Moshe was sitting on.
Right. So big rock, exactly. So he digs, he carves out a niche, and into the niche he's got a roof that protects his base abad, his wine press, his olive press, I should say, and in the niche is the olive press. Vagina achas, I don't know what the word achas is doing there, I don't know, but you have a gina, you have a garden, al gabav, it's sitting on the roof. You know, it's like there's a stone roof above the wine press, olive press, I'm sorry, olive press, and then I guess there's topsoil on top of that, and you got the cucumbers growing on top in the topsoil upstairs. And what happens is, v'nifchas, the roof caves in, so now the cucumbers come tumbling in into the base of bud.
Nice.
And that's not the point. The point is that the base of bud guy, v'arei bal hagina, sorry, the case is that the gardener upstairs has no place now to plant his cucumbers because there's no floor to his garden. But the guy underneath, the Beis Abad guy, doesn't want to rebuild the ceiling. So that's the case. So then the upstairs tenant who had the garden can plant into the hole that is now existing into the Beis Abad, because that's all he's got to do. Obviously it's not great anyways, because not much is going to grow in that hole, but let us go.
I understand the significance of the Gina up top. Is there a significance to the Beis Abad, or just Kamala?
There actually is a significance according to the Rush. There is a significance. You mean as it could be anything else? The Rush learns it is significant. Let me get back to it. But for now, just take it as told. I'll get back to it. It could be anything under there. Point is, there's two stories. Okay. So then the Bal Hagina Yorad Vizorei Lamata, the gardener up top can now plant his cucumbers down below into the hole. Ajiyasa the base Bado Kipin, until the guy down below, the olive presser, builds a new roof. Kipin is the word kippah. Kippah means like kippah means like a dome. That's what it means, like a hemisphere, something like that. So goes in your head, your yidlid. It also goes off your case of bud. But the Chazal talk about things like the kippah being like the surface, the sky, or whatever it is, or like the
Iron Dome.
Iron Dome. What? Yeah. That's right. Keep it. Vazel Dome. It means a dome. Dome. Yeah, so that's it. So until the lower guy who had the base of bod builds up the roof again, the guy on top can set up shop below in the hole there. So now the Rush learns, for what it's worth, that base of bod is significant, because the point is he's saying, I'm answering a question, but it's adding a subtlety that we haven't addressed up to now, really, which is the reason why the guy up top can say to the guy below, "Listen, get out of. I'm using your place till you build up the roof again." Meaning you have obligations to me, because normally you'd say, "Listen, if they're two separate owners, why does the guy above have any, why can he force the guy below to build it? The guy below can say, listen, this is my, I don't have to build a roof. I never agreed to build a roof. I just happened to have a roof over my base of Bud. It fell in, so what? This is still where I want to press my olives. Get lost. What are you doing inside here? So the reason why the guy upstairs can force him to build a roof and say, until you build a roof, I'm moving in, is because anyways, the roof is something that you need also. So since, in other words, a base of Bud, olive press would have a roof normally to protect the olives and the press and everything from the rain. So when I moved in and agreed, or let's say I agreed to take the Yerusha of the top part, or I moved in, whatever the case is, it's because I assumed that you would for sure maintain the roof for me, because you need it for yourself. So that's why he can force them to come back and build it again. So the take, according to the Russian, was it could be taka different if the thing that was underneath there wouldn't require covering in the first place.
But if it's just a matter of rain, he could put an umbrella up there.
An umbrella over the base of Bod? Yeah. I guess the point is that they...
Well, it's been more than just rain.
Well, I don't know, the Russian says the rain, but I think the point is that the guy above agreed to the situation because he assumed, like he was in his rights to assume, the guy below would maintain the roof because he needs it. So if you think, if you're doing some activity that didn't need a roof at all, nothing particularly comes to mind. But then the din might be different. To answer your question. Anyway, so that's step one. Same thing as before. The guy above can move into the guy's face below until the guy below puts up the ceiling again.
Is there any consideration as to whether the fellow with the garden on top might have been responsible for the catering?
No, we're assuming that no one is responsible. Indeed, if the guy below dug too much out or the guy above put too much weight, then obviously they'd be responsible. We're assuming not that. We're assuming no one's to blame, just things collapse over time. Yeah.
So it's similar to the previous one where you'd have to be rent for that time?
Exact same as the previous one.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, okay, that's that. Now, okay. So we're like a new paragraph, so to speak. We're actually leaving away temporarily from, we're segueing away from the two-story situation. Here I have a kosel ve'ilan shenaflu rishasa rabim. One-story residence that has a wall or a tree, and the wall collapses or the tree collapses and it falls into the public domain, the hiziku, and causes damage. This really is like a throwback to Bava Kama here, third paragraph there. So pater milashalim, the owner of the wall or the owner of the tree is pater from paying for damages. This is A, assuming that the wall fell in an unexpected, you know, onus kind of way, like who would expect there to be a hurricane? There was a hurricane, so the wall tumbled down. So be putter from damage, that would mean A, like if it fell on someone's head, he'd be putter, and B, if you know a car then drives by, or a person walks by and trips over, he's also putter. That patur will extend, of course, only until he has enough time to clean up his mess. If he doesn't clean up his mess, this is what we learned back in Bava Kama. Once he could clean it up but didn't, so then he's now chayav again because his debris is littering the public place. He's responsible for it. And I should point out here that, just reminding you back to Bava Kama, the truth is what he could do, since he didn't place it there on purpose, it was placed there, he would have the right to just be, before it causes damage, to be mafkaret and say, you know what, I don't want those stones, they're hafker, whoever wants them can take them. Since A, he didn't put it in the public domain, and B, he doesn't own it, he would be putter then even if someone comes and stumbles on it later on. He can just walk away from it.
But if it's a boar,
b'shus harabim, but he didn't put the boar in the b'shus. See, if I decide, first of all, I'm going to park my car in the middle of the freeway, and then I'm going to mafka the car. No way, because you put it there illegally, right? But I didn't put these broken stones illegally in the street.
Yeah,
the wind blew them.
Mess, though. I mean, what if it's impeding other people? And
so it is. He's responsible unless he's mafka. If he's mafka,
if he
disowns it. If he relinquishes ownership before anyone gets hurt, then he just walks away, and then it's hefker. Whoever wants it can take it. If he sees it leaning over, then he's chayv even afterwards because he should have known better.
Wait a second. Someone who has a stone wall
If a person's wall falls by onus, a hurricane blows through. In other words,
what if a person's got
the zero, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. No.
I'm asking what if now. I'm asking a very practical question because there's someone I know.
Oh, I don't know. Don't ask any practical
questions. The stone walls with time, the roots are pushing it away, and it starts to fall.
That's
my
issue. Well, we're about to see in a second if people are seeing it as a hazard, then they give you to clean it up. This is the guy went to sleep. The engineer would have told him that day, What's the problem? It's a stone wall. Everything's cool. Then that night blows through 150 mile an hour winds and the whole thing's go flying down. So how does folks expect that? So now, again, so he is responsible for cleaning up the mess. Just until he has enough time to be notified of the damage and clean up the mess and wait till the storm winds go down and get what do you call it? A land mover? What are those things called? You're going to laugh at me. They're those big, there must be a name for them, I just don't know it. The big, usually yellow, they say komatsu on them usually, or caterpillar. They're like with a scoop and they move land. What I always call it is a snort because of that silly book, Are You My Mother? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
What is that thing really called?
In it, with a shovel on the back?
Yeah.
It's called the back loader.
Back?
Backhoe loader.
All right. Okay. Good. Now I know. No longer a snort. It's a book. Okay. It's a kind of bulldozer. It goes that. So until he has a chance to rent his backhoe loader to clean up the mess and all that kind of stuff, if someone gets hurt, he's potter. But after that, he's chayv. But since, and I'm just emphasizing what I said before, since he didn't put it down illegally, if he's mafkret, he neither placed it illegally nor does he own it. So therefore, he would be potter from damage later on.
If it's just the shovel, it's called an excavator.
Excavator, backhoe loader, and they're all in the category of bulldozers.
I think that's made up.
Oh, I thought a bulldozer is like, something else.
And none of them are his own.
None of his, that's right. So now, okay, so that's that. Hakosa ve'ilin shenafel v'shazaram hiziku pater milashalem. If it falls over by onus, he's pater. However, naslo zman lakotz esa ilan v'listor esa kosel. If the basin, says, whoa, you have 30 days to remove that tree because it's looking dangerous, or that wall because it's looking like it's going to fall over.
Uh-huh.
Now, they gave him 30 days. They could have given him 14 days, or 1 day, or 0 days, but they gave him 30 days. So that means they obviously estimated that within 30 days, it's not going to fall. What was
but,
it? Told him 10
he
days.
He still fell from his reshus.
Right. He fell from his reshus,
so
but now he's put on notice.
How do they make it his board?
Well, let me first say the punchline of the sentence, I'll answer your question. So once they've given him time, they say you have 30 days to remove that potential public nuisance. V'naflu b'so chazman, if within 30 days it falls, pater, he's still pater, because he assumes that 30 days means within 30 days it's safe, or they wouldn't have given him 30 days. So it's still an onus department. However, l'achar zman, chayef, he's been put on notice, this is going to, so now he's been put on notice, you can't call it unforeseeable anymore, but it's definitely foreseeable. Now, here, the issue is, if it's an onus, so I didn't put it down, and it fell down, it was not my illegal act. If it's, I know it's going to happen, or I'm warned it could happen, I can't call it onus anymore. So now, really, I'm really ending up as a pusher. I'm negligent for letting my rickety wall stick around till the next wind comes and tip it over, or whatever the story is. So I'll be chayev. So then, now once I'm chayev, let me speak of the difference. Since I'm put it down there illegally, I was not an onus. I knew it was going to fall. The base said, 30 days, this thing's going to fall eventually. I didn't clear it away on day 31 or thereafter. It falls over and it's sitting in the public domain, causing a nuisance. I'm chayv across the board. I'm chayv if it falls on someone, if I trip over it. But now I can't be mafkir anymore. Even if I'm mafkir it, since it started out being there because of my illegal activity, I can't just walk away from it. I'm always chayv. It's like a boar, right? I can't just say my boar is. I dig a hole in the ground and say, oh, I don't want it. But you put it there, so you're chayv for it. So he's chayv and he's chayv even if he would be mafkir subsequently. It's high because he's not an onus. Good.